Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live on April the 10th, 2024. It's the lead up right into the draft. We already had one episode on 3 yards per carry where we dealt with quarterbacks and running backs. Our next episode will deal with the pass catchers, wide receivers, and tight ends. That one could go on for about 6 or 7 hours. This is as good a draft as I can remember at wide receiver. And I know we say this every year about one position group or another, but this one's ridiculous. At a certain point, at this part of the evaluation period, because you know I'm pretty much done watching games, so now I'm just watching individual spotlighted games. Like I'm told, you know, I'll look in through the game logs and I say, okay, this guy Ricky Purcell played really, really well against Georgia. Okay, so I'll say, okay, I'm gonna watch that, right? And what I do is I essentially fast forward to all his catches. I look at those. And then, so I'm not biased, so I don't get into the groove of the momentum of a game and thinking a guy is just absolutely murdering it when he catches one pass for 15 yards and then he catches another one for 36 yards and then he catches the third one for 22 yards. What I do is I'll go back and forth and I'll just try to look at individual routes to see how he's doing. Or I'll watch him on a run play to see if he quits on a play, if he cares about blocking, how he positions himself to block, stuff like that, okay? On the wide receivers, okay? Usually by this point, I hate a bunch of them, okay? And I'm pretty certain that, okay, this guy's going to suck, and that guy's going to suck, and I'm pretty sure that this guy's not going to be all that great. Man, this year it's really, really hard. I like a ton of them, and I'll even give you Let me go through my list here. I'll give you an example of a guy I did not like initially. And I've started to watch him a little bit more. And damn it, he can play. All right, let me look at my list here. I should have it right here. Ricky Pearsall, forget about him, man. He's a player. Okay. You guys know I like Malachi Corley, Jalen Pope. You know, Jalen Pope. Every time you watch Washington, you watch for everybody for Odunze, but that guy always ends up popping. And we know the Dolphins like Javon Baker, you know. But from Louisville, Jamari Thrash, man. There's a couple of games where he was absolutely invisible, okay? I invite you to go look at their quarterbacks this past year, all right? There's a reason he can be completely invisible, okay? He's polished, man. He can do it all. He has a knack for getting open. He extends his stride on routes, especially on crossing routes. Really good, very, very quick on hitches. And one thing I like to notice is, okay, he caught a hitch. All right, now he caught another hitch. What was the depth at that first hitch? What was the depth at that second hitch? There was a game where I think he ran two, one in the first, one late in the game, and I just remembered it. Like, I had forgotten about it, and I was like, oh, let me go look back at that again. And I looked at the first one. He hitched at 11, caught it at 8 yards, gained 2 yards after contact. The second one, he hitched at 10 yards, caught it at 8 yards. What is that telling you? He's working his way back to his landmark that it was drawn up for him when the play was designed. I love this class. Like, this class is absolutely loaded. Like, you don't need a top 5 pick to get Marvin Harrison, although it's nice. You know, he's a great player. He's going to be a great player. Malik Nabers is going to be an absolute stud. It's going to be so hard to miss, okay? If you miss at wide receiver in this draft, man, you're unlucky, okay? At 21... I think they're going to be in, and they're going to have the opportunity to reach if they want to. And I'm thinking that they're going to have to for a guy like Xavier Leggett. But, you know, well, I'll leave this all to your questions. If you have questions on the draft, you can put them in the chat and I'll get to them. I have a very brief monologue, and then I'll get to what we have in the queue. My monologue has to do with Tua's workout video. I did a breakdown on OnlyFans, and if you want to become a member of OnlyFans, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans. You can become a member there for $3 a month. That is discord.gg/OnlyFans. And you become a member for $3 a month. I did a breakdown of his throwing motion, or his new throwing motion. And I know some people have said, oh, you know, it's, he doesn't have a new throwing motion. It's the same thing. No, it's very different. His release point is a little higher. His hitch, he's starting his hitch closer to his nipple around his pit area. He didn't used to do that before. He still has that loop. And, man, I hate that. Okay? Like, if I taught quarterbacks in high school or peewees or 140s, you know, I would teach them all to get rid of that loop. It's a wasted motion. And some would say, ah, damn it. You know, our favorite Samoan quarterback has a mechanical issue. No, a ton of quarterbacks have that loop. And what I mean about a loop is quarterbacks that extend the ball, you know, pass the framework to bring it out to the release point to then follow through. A bunch of quarterbacks do that. Even the ones that are the best throwers of the football, like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's just a thing that happens. You know who didn't have that loop? Dan Marino didn't have that loop. You know, but, you know, a lot of great ones did. John Elway had it. Joe Montana had it. You know who didn't have it? Troy Aikman didn't have it. Trying to think of another really good Hall of Fame quarterback that didn't have it. Teddy Bradshaw had a pronounced loop. His was probably a mechanical problem. Roger Staubach also had it. I'm trying to think. And who didn't have it? Joe Namath didn't have it. Usually those quick release guys didn't have it. Oddly enough, Randall Cunningham, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, had a loop, but his did not extend outward. His extended higher, and he had a loopy motion overhead throw. He had an overhead throwing motion, so he looped overhead, which was very, very different than what I'm talking about. So, yeah, it's different. His release point's different. It should help him to maybe even quicken his release, but it'll make him more accurate in the face of the rush. It'll make him more accurate because of one very, very simple thing. You cannot emulate these mechanics if you are not standing on your plant foot. If your plant foot is off, then you can fade on a throw. And that's part of that's one issue that Tua has always had. He's had it for 4 years, and it shows up all the time. You want to know where it showed up and it got us a touchdown? In the playoff game against the Chiefs. He was fading away on that. He didn't step into it, and that's why he underthrew that bomb to Tyreek for that touchdown. He was fading away instead of just planning and delivering it. So if this helps his mechanics to, you know, keep his plant foot steady and ready to unlock his hips and throw his shoulder forward, then yes, I am all for it, and I would actually love to see him employ it. And if it just helps with keeping his plant foot down, that's enough, because that gets rid of all those fade throws. And those fade throws is what will cause him to sail a pass. Look, the interception. Look, in that game, one good, one bad. Okay? The interception to Mike Edwards, now Buffalo safety, that was because he did not have his feet set. And he sailed a pass because he was fading on the throw. The touchdown to Tyreek, he was fading on the throw. So one good and one bad. You don't want none of that. You want his mechanics to be completely consistent. All right, I will bring you on. As I bring you on, you identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, as I bring you up, identify yourself. All right, you are up.
Hi, Alf. This is Dundee Dolphin. Hope you're well.
Hey.
I have a couple of questions, if I may. One defensive, one offensive. Defensively, we confirmed the signing, or we signed Tyreek Hill this week. That's been a few defensive line, sort of notionally defensive tackle signings, and one end and Barrett. What what is it starting to take shape in a way that gives you an idea of what our kind of gap responsibilities will be and scheme is going to be? If so, what are you seeing the picture emerging from the kind of mosaic of the signings we've made?
Great question. And I absolutely do see a pattern here. From what they have signed, they are signaling very, very, very strongly it's a one-gap system, which, oddly enough, that's what the Ravens ran, okay? So it's not like, I'm coming down the mountain with the tablets here. It's just, simple 2+2. All of these guys are one-gap players. Very simple system to work in. Should be a system that Zach Sealer is going to excel in, especially as a pass rusher. You have him rushing as a 3-tech. You have him rushing as a 5. Man, he's going to get to the quarterback. He's going to work a lot against guards and against guards one-on-one. So, unless you think that teams are just going to single Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, and for that matter, Shaquille Barrett and possibly Carl Lawson. So, yeah. This is going to be a one-gap system, very similar to what the Ravens ran last year. Very simple system to run. They're going to spread the snaps around among many, many, many guys. I think, and this is unheard of, but at least it was for our team, I think they might dress six interior defensive linemen next year for games. 3 edge players and possibly 4 linebackers, which is a different mix than what they've had in the past. Last year, they were dressing 4 interior defensive linemen. This year could be 6. They could have a specialist as far as a nose tackle playing 10 to 15 snaps. They should have one guy who's going to play 1 shade and 3 tech. That's probably Tier Tart. Neville Gallimore is the guy that could be up and down as far as active and inactive. Jonathan Harrison, I think, will be active more often than not. Of course, Zach Sealer's going to play, and Benito Jones is the 0. So, yeah, it's a one-gap system. The other question?
You think Sealer plays the majority of snaps and they rotate around him, or he's just part of the rotation?
I think he's part of the rotation. I think he'll play the most snaps out of all the defensive tackle and out of all the interior defensive linemen. But I do envision, I don't have a snap count in front of me right now. I would say I wouldn't say a precipitous drop, but take off 15%, because they're going to play more guys. They're going to play more guys, and they're going to try to keep them fresh for third down. That's kind of how the Ravens played Matty Buike. He took spells, especially on passing situations on early downs, For example, 1st and 10 penalty, 1st and 15, they give him a blow. 2nd and 20, they'll give him a blow. So, I think that the rotation is going to be a little bit more vast. It's going to be more, there's going to be more guys involved in it. Like I said, I think they will dress, maybe 6 is a little high, although I'm starting to envision. You know what? 5. Make it 5 because they might dress 4 edge players because one has to play special teams. So, yeah, 5-4. That's 9. That's 9 on the line. 4 linebacker. That's 13. Then you dress 7 defensive backs. That's 20. Yes, and then you have your specialists and your offense. That's your game day roster. So, yeah, 5 dress on game day, which is a lot. This is a team that was dressing 4 last year. Mm. All right. You have anything else?
Yeah, thanks. If I may, I have a question about draft philosophy. There was a really interesting chat in the on OnlyFans this week about kind of risk and reward of early round draft picks between someone who has a gigantic ceiling but maybe a health injury. I'm just thinking about, so the question was Amarius Mims versus Graham Barton. And so is there a relationship between need and risk and gamble? So Philadelphia Eagles have got a great offensive line. So they can take a chance because they don't need to hit and have a player start this year in a way that I think Miami does. Do you agree? Is that a thing that it matters who you are to how much risk you take? And who would you take out of those two for Miami and why?
Yeah, I think that if you look at the way that they're going to look at the expenditure of an offensive lineman, especially, okay, if they take one at 21, they're going to need him to play day one. There is no way you could take a player in the first round this year and he does not play. Like, there's no way they can do that, because you're redshirting a year off of a first round contract that you can't afford to do. You just can't afford to do it, because you're going to have to start replacing some of these guys going forward, some of these expensive vets that you've signed. So if that's the case, then Grant Barton is probably the guy over Amaris Mims. Mims, I don't think he can play guard, and you don't want a 6'8 guard in front of Tua Tagovailoa anyway. So yeah, and that's not something that, you know, there's been some successful taller guards, none at 6'8 that I can remember. You know, I remember Steve Hutchinson at 6'5. He was really good, and he's a Hall of Famer. So I would say Grant Barton, because I think Grant Barton, you draft him, I think he starts day one. And I think you start him at left guard. And I don't think he's the emergency left tackle. I think they settled on Kendall Lamb for that. Okay. So, you know, I think if you draft him, he's your starting left guard day one. You know, and then it's a pretty big competition at right guard for everybody else. So now that first round pick is playing. And I think that the second round pick is playing as well. All right.
Okay. So Barton over Mims.
Yes.
So Barton or Thomas Jr.
Just
give me a name.
I'm cooling to Brian Thomas Jr. So Barton over Thomas Jr.
Okay. Barton or Newton?
I think Newton. You know, that one's 50-50. Although I really like Grant Barton. I think Grant Barton's going to be a guy that's going to play right away. So, but I don't think that's necessarily Chris Greer's philosophy. That, you know,
no.
That's me talking. Like, I value a guard. Yeah. You know, I don't know if they do. You know?
Presumably it's his philosophy to have at least an adequate starter quality guard. I know you've got a theory about Laken Tomlinson and or
Risner,
forget his name. Yeah.
Dalton Risner. Yeah. And you know, ideally you want to have that center of the line sewn up when you have a shorter quarterback. You know, shorter quarterbacks, you don't want to have them have trash at their feet, and you don't want guys in their face. So, and Tua can handle rush from the outside. You know, his problem is when his guys inside are getting beat. You know, that's a problem. All right.
Could you handle one more question?
Sure, one more.
One more quick one. I'm hearing a lot of talk saying people seem to be, people who sort of maybe should know that the Patriots are pretty much committed to J.J. McCarthy. What are your thoughts on that pick, and what do you think it means for us?
I heard in midseason when Bill Belichick was in charge that they loved Jaden Daniels. Since then, he's gone up boards. And remember, at that point, at midseason, the Patriots still thought that they would be picking somewhere around 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there. And Jaden Daniels was going to be there for them. Since then, Jaden Daniels completed a hell of a season at LSU. And he's moved way up on a ton of boards. So I am nearly certain. Then again, you know, remember, although some of the people in the front office are still there, most of the people, in fact, are still there, I am fairly certain if the Commanders pass on Jaden Daniels, which is very, very unlikely, I think he's the pick for the Patriots. As far as if Jaden Daniels goes at number two, as expected, to the Commanders, man, I think the Patriots, I think they might do something like that. It could be smoke. You never know. Maybe they're trying to, you know, trade down, gain some more picks, and still take J.J. McCarthy, because they know that somebody's going to move up for their spot to take Drake May. Maybe that's likely. That's likely what could be happening. Will they just stay put at number three and take J.J. McCarthy? Man. Crazier things have happened.
It feels like the runt of the litter.
Yeah. It's, I'm not a fan, you know, but others do. Yeah. Others like him. You know, a lot of other guys like him. You know, Mel Kiper likes him. Mo Kiper has him mocked there. So, you know, I don't like him. Others do. All right.
I hope you can. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for participating. All right. I will go to all the questions in the chat. If you put them in, I'll try to get to as many as I can. If I can, I will get to all of them. All right, here's the first one. Wondering if we signed OBJ and didn't draft a wide receiver with our first few picks, what percentage of plays could you see him being on the field for, Alf? I'm thinking they're around 35% or so. I don't remember exactly where either Tyreek or Waddle aren't on the field. It's a little higher than that. And then you have the 11 personnel grouping. I got to figure he plays 45 to 50% of the downs, assuming health for all three guys. Thoughts, Alf? Starting to think he's worth more than Miami might be offering. Yes. 45% of the downs? Yes, I think so. Look, first of all, you got to have him on there in 11 personnel, right? Then he could spell Waddle and he could spell Tyreek from time to time. Before you know it, he's playing nearly the same snap count as Jalen Waddle. So, yeah, 50% is possible. 45% seems likely. Next question. Hi, Alf. Who is a better fit for Miami's needs? Xavier Worthy or Xavier Leggett? And is there another wide receiver likely to be available that you think is even better? You got the two guys there. Look, Xavier Worthy, I think there's a little redundancy there in skill set. And look, do I trust? Look, if they take Xavier Worthy, I'm going to trust him because it's Mike McDaniel. He knows what he's doing. Okay? So he will obviously have a plan, but man, Xavier Leggett, I would even reach for him at 21, although I think he could be available toward the end of the first round. Xavier Leggett's a player. He can do so many things. Physical. Can play outside, can play inside. Has the entire route tree, essentially. Loves football. And he has a great speaking voice. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Next question. Is there another wide receiver likely available that I think is even better? No. I think you got the right guys there. Brian Thomas Jr. could be there. Brian Thomas Jr. can do a very, very specific job to help unlock this offense. But there's some warts there, the more that I watch him. Next question. With the Dolphins still not restructuring Tyreek and becoming a little richer on June 2nd, very rich on June 2nd, is there more flexibility for the team pushing his restructuring a year from now? There hasn't been a move worth touching the contract just yet? I think they got that bullet's in the magazine right now. They just haven't fired it yet. My guess is that it's probably tied to Odell Beckham Jr. And when they need it, they'll use it. And they'll spring that money onto the cap and then hand it to Odell Beckham. If they must, and if they can, and if OBJ is willing to take what they're offering. Remember, they have a contract offer out there. My guess is that they would revisit the offer if they have to sweeten it. They like Odell Beckham. Next question. Obviously, depending on the draft, are there free agents you bang the table for once the compensatory formula is locked in from a free agency signing standpoint? Does Calais Campbell do anything for you guys? Highly productive last season. So I need you to look that up. You know, I know, I believe that Omar Kelly and Alan Poupart on their show had a list of free agents that they would look at. They had him on their list. He can still play. He's 1,000 years old. But for 1 year, I believe he's 37. But for 1 year, he was highly productive last year for the Falcons. For 1 year here in Miami? Yeah. Give me Calais Campbell. He can play. And there's history there between him and Anthony Weaver, by the way. Next question. Thoughts on Mel Kiper Jr.'s Dolphins 2-round mock. Man, that was a banger. Jared Verse on the edge. And then Christian Hayes, my favorite, in the second round. Absolutely. Sign me up like right now, immediately. Like if you told me we don't have to watch the draft, but you got those two guys, I'd tell you, okay, let's fast forward to May. All right, let's fast forward to the Kentucky Derby, and let's talk horses. And I got my two guys for the team. Christian Hayes, I really like him as a player, and Jared Verse. You know, all you got to do is just watch him. You know, it's obvious. If you can't get Lautu, come on. You know, I like him better than Chop Robinson. I just do. You know, but I like to see some production. Chop Robinson, where's the beef? He's a great athlete. Looks beautiful in a uniform. Can he play? No, we don't know. Yeah, there's some, you know, there's some tape of him getting off pretty well using his speed rush, which would make for a pretty good sub package pass rusher. But we shall see. I like others better. So yeah, I love that 2-round mock from Mel Kiper. Next question: what's the story with our interest in Carl Lawson? Oh, evidently they had him in. If they have him in, they're interested. If they bring him in, edge rotation is pretty much set. All that is left to fill in is a draft pick, and that's it. Not much more. The rest is developmental stuff. You're not going to carry that many. Okay? Next one. Hey, Alf, do you agree with Cy that an edge defender is our best bet for an impact player at 21? Graham Barton's got a shot at that, right? Well, Graham Barton's a guard, right? But Graham Barton is an impact player. Like, he starts. I believe he starts from day one. Edge defender, I do agree with Simon. There's some in this draft that are just too good. You could figure them into a rotation, even with Shaquille Barrett. Where, look, simple fact of the matter is that Jalen Phillips is one hell of a pass rusher as a three tech. Okay? So you gotta forget about thinking about this as, oh my God, you know, you got Phillips and you got Chubb on the outside, and then Shaq Barrett's behind him, so this rookie will never play. He'll never get a snap. No. Jalen Phillips is a hell of a pass rusher as a three tech. Deadly as a pass rusher as a three tech. He destroys guards. Can you imagine a pass rush with Phillips and Sealer inside, Chubb and Barrett, or the rookie on the outside? Sign me up. I saw some differences of views between, I think, Simon and Chris this week over the quality of Christian Haynes. Chris said he's a stud. He is. Simon said he was left wanting more. How do you rank the player? Very, very, very high. I love Christian Haynes. I think he's a ready-made starter from day one. His anchor is as good as I've seen. As a run blocker, there's some, like, look, I could say that, you know, I've been left a little wanting as a run blocker. As a pass protector, man, I don't think there's many better than him. In fact, I'll go out on the limb and say he's the best pass protecting guard in the draft. His anchor is solid. He steers defensive tackles that are equal to or heavier than him. He's an absolute stud. Had a spectacular Senior Bowl. Love Christian Haynes. I would take him at 55 sight unseen right now. Hey, Alf. There's another next question. Hey, Alf. If it's true that 20 teams have Latu off their boards due to medical, our chances are great at 21. I don't think that's true. That's just a rumor that's out there. And remember, let's say 20 teams is a little high. But let's say that there's 10 teams that have them off their boards, which is entirely possible. Okay. Well, that's going to create a lot of pressure between the other guys that really like them to try to jockey into position. Because trust me, these teams are going to have the intel on who has who off of whose board. That's going to create a lot of pressure to jockey for positioning. And I really do believe that edge player is the position that will get traded up for in the first round this season. I do believe that. Next question. There seemed to be an increase in discussion this week about safety. Is that a thing? And which round, what level of importance would you give it? I think that it's in play at 55. I wouldn't bet on it. But I think in a trade down, if they gain a third round pick, let's say, you could almost earmark it for a safety. Assuming they drafted Cam Smith as an eventual replacement for X, who might they look to replace next season? Well, I'm not thinking about next season now, man. You know, I think Jalen Ramsey is here for two more seasons. As far as replacing somebody next season, I don't think so. I think that this secondary is pretty much ready-made. Unless Kendall Fuller has a terrible season and Cam Smith is really, really good, then you could see Kendall Fuller leaving. Is it me or is there no sound? No, it's you. There's definitely sound because I see my little light on. What are the conversation like before someone comes for a visit, specifically OBJ? Why should he come for a visit and then come out and it seems they're far apart on money? I don't think that they're far apart on money. Okay. I think when somebody's coming for a visit, it's initial interest on both sides. We want to work something out. We know the parameters of what you want. Let's work around that. Nobody comes in to get insulted. Like, nobody's ever shown up here, although it's happened in the past. But it's not happened with this regime, and it's not happening with this regime. Okay? Nobody's going to come in here and then get completely insulted by the Dolphins' offer. Like, if the Dolphins make an offer after you show up here, it's going to be competitive, and it's going to be within the parameters of what you asked for. So I wouldn't say that they're far apart, okay? They just got to cross some T's, dot some I's. Do you pick at 21 or trade down? I'm leaning toward trade down because I love so many wide receivers in this draft that I think it's entirely possible that there could be a run on edge players and you're left with none that you have high on your board for 21. You trade down, you get your receiver. But I remind you all, I think you need a partner. And, man, if there's a run on edge players, who the hell's trading up to 21 to take one, you know? So, might be rough. Might be rough finding a trade partner. But, yes, I would trade down. I think you want some ammo in this draft, man. It's a pretty deep draft in a lot of positions that Miami needs players at. Last question. Do we need some more... do we need another grunt in the internal offensive line to boost the run game and convert the short yardage stuff? Where do we get it from? We currently do not have a guard to start moving people in on lead plays. That's a fact. We just don't have one right now. So we are exclusively a zone blocking offensive line as of right now. So we don't have a powerful inside presence. Who are the guys that could provide that? Dalton Risner's not a bad run blocker, but he's not necessarily a powerful guy. Lakin Tomlinson's pretty strong, but he's more of a pass protector as well. In the draft, JPJ is that guy, but we shall see. He's dropping on some draft boards. Can he make it to 55? Absolutely. Creed Humphrey dropped to 63. All right, and I think we're going to call it right there. The next time that we speak to you will be next week. Remember, we do this every single week. On our Discord, OnlyFans. If you want to become a member of our Discord on OnlyFans, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans. And you become a member there for $3 a month. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.